What I really need is an iPhone. Or what I really need is a Kindle Fire. Or what I really need is a sandwich. I'm starving. Or a chocolate bar. And we kind of think that right now, that is what we really, 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 really need, isn't it? But if we were to kind of step back and just say, hold on, say, let's look at this from the distance of, say, 1,000 years' time, or 10,000 years' time, or 100,000 years' time, like eternity, do you think you'd be standing in 100,000 years' time going, I really need an iPhone still? Probably not. If you're thinking about what you need for 10,000 years or 100,000 years, we probably know what the answer is, isn't it? The answer is, what do you really need? You need... Okay, it's a little bit worrying. We're a church. We should know the answers here. It's always Jesus. From the perspective of eternity, what do you really, really need? You need...
Jesus.
There you go. Here we go. We're working it. You need sins forgiven, and you need to have eternal life forever. But here's the thing. The difficulty of living in this world is this. The difficulty of living in this world is that so often what we do is we confuse what we think we really need now with what we really need forever. We confuse what we think we need now with what we really need forever, Jesus. And so we start to say, and we say things, don't we? What we really need now is a holiday because I'm so tired. Or I need a body that works properly because I'm just fed up with being ill. Or I need friends because I'm lonely. Or I need to pass an exam to get a job. Or I need money to pay off debts. What I need is a comfortable, easier life. And we begin to think that those good things are what we really need. That they are what really matter. And so we spend our time thinking about those things and obsessing about those things and really wanting those things that it so kind of consumes our every thought and our heart, and we speak about them all the time because we think that's what we really need now, because we've confused what we think we need now with what we really need forever, Jesus. And you see, the thing is, what we really need is Jesus. What we really need is Jesus. And you know what? This confusion happened in Jesus' day. If you'd have asked someone at the time of Jesus, what do you think is your greatest need? They would have said, bread. Bread is our greatest need. Because to them, bread equaled life. They lived in a culture where you spent all your days working to get enough to eat, to get enough bread to eat. Bread equals life. Bread was everything. Now, to us, you know, we see bread, we get a nice range of bread, don't we? We kind of get a ciabatta or a plaited loaf. Yum, indeed. Or, I don't know what you call this one, a kind of seeded something or other. A sausage roll, yeah? No sausage. Or, you know, or a bagel. And we look at the bagel and we don't go, life. We look at the bagel and think, salmon and cream cheese, peanut butter and honey, Dairylea and Marmite, maybe just some ham and pickle, or tuna sweet corn and pickle. We kind of, it's not life, is it? But for them it was life. And so, of course, when Jesus is teaching on a mountain, and it comes to the end of a long day, and he looks out of a crowd, not just of 150, but of 5,000 plus, and he sees that they're hungry. And he feeds them with 5 loaves and 2 small fish. Yum. 2 small fish and 5 loaves. A little bit smelly. Here's the thing, right? Kids, do you think you could feed everyone here with these 5 loaves and 2 fish? What do you reckon? Do you reckon it would fill you up? if you wanted to eat it and you liked fish raw. We'd cook it. Presumably it was cooked fish. We'll go with cooked fish. Mine's raw. But would it fill you up? Would this fill you up, Erin? Not for lunch. No, just a light snack, really, isn't it? And yet 5,000 people, Jesus fed 5,000 people with just that amount. And so when he filled them all, and he didn't just feed them, he fed them so that they felt like, you know, that moment after Christmas dinner. You know, after Christmas dinner, where you just go, oh, that's how they felt. They were full. And there was plenty left over. And when Jesus did this, and they're all filled in this way, this is big news. This is massive. In a country where you spend all day working hard just to get some bread and a couple of fish, here's a man who's just fed you abundantly that you feel so full and stuffed that you're happy. This is massive news. This makes Jesus a superstar. In fact, he would have won Israel's Got Talent. It's that big. And no wonder you see the crowd begin to get very excited. You know, they begin to think, oh, is this one Jesus? Is he the prophet? Is he the one who's going to come and fix our needs? Is he going to be the king? Is he going to be the one who kick out the Romans and make life more comfortable for us and get rid of our poverty so that we're no longer poor and we have lots to eat and lots to drink and everything will be happy? Is this the one who's going to make life comfortable for us? See, they too had begun to confuse what we think we need now with what we really need forever. They'd begun to think of Jesus as the one who'd come to give them a comfortable life now. And so the crowd go looking for Jesus. In verse 26, we discover that Jesus knows the real reason why they have come. They want more bread. See what Jesus says, verse 26? I tell you the truth. You were looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures. And food that spoils, well, it's a bit like a McDonald's Happy Meal, really. Who likes going to McDonald's? Now, there's just something exciting about going to McDonald's, isn't there? You know, when your mum and dad say to you, we're going to McDonald's, it just makes your day. The golden arches are beckoning. And you get to McDonald's and you order your little Happy Meal. And the Happy Meal is a good thing. It comes in a very nice box. And it looks nice. And you get to the table and you open your Happy Meal box and you look into your Happy Meal and there's the cheeky cheeseburger you've been looking forward to. And the fries. And next door to the cheeky cheeseburger and the dumpy looking fries is the toy. Wrapped in cellophane. Looking nice. And you take the toy out and you open it and you play with it. And then you eat your cheeky cheeseburger and you eat your fries, dipping them into your ketchup and you slurp it all down with a fizzy Coke because it's fizzy Coke day. You're allowed it. Some of you may have had the Tropicana orange juice because it's healthier. As if that's going to do it on a Happy Meal day. But see, here's the problem with the Happy Meal, is that 2 to 3 hours later, okay, half an hour later, you're hungry, and you're thirsty, and the toy that looks so nice is now broken, and the box that looks so attractive is now in the bin. It spoils, it fades, it ruins, it doesn't last for long. And Jesus says, don't work for food that spoils. He's not just meaning literal food. He's also meaning all those things that you might be wanting to work for. Holidays and money and nicer looking houses or good exam results or perfectly healthy bodies. And they're all good in themselves. But in the end, it spoils. Holidays come and go. Bodies may be well for a while, but even the healthiest body in the end will get old and die. Even exam results, you can get the best exam results, but by the time you're 85, no one remembers what you got. You don't even remember what you got. And money, of course, is important, but it's not everything. You can't take it with you. It all spoils. It all ruins. And Jesus says, look, don't work for food that spoils because it doesn't satisfy, it doesn't last, it's not what you really need. Don't confuse what we think we need now with what we really need forever, Jesus. Work for food, says Jesus, that endures for eternal life. That will not perish, that will not spoil or fade. See, what you really need, have a look, verse 29. Kids, nudge your parents. Verse 29, you need to believe in me. What you really need is me, says Jesus. Not the loaves, not the good things that I give you. See, those physical needs, those physical wants, they're meant to point you to the greater spiritual need, me, says Jesus. See, you're meant to see that those needs that will spoil and fade, those things that will not last or satisfy, the happy meal that just doesn't keep you fed all day, all those good things, they're meant to point to your greatest spiritual need. Me, says Jesus. See, but the crowd can't see it. They want a sign. See that verse 30? Give us a sign, Jesus. I mean, they've just had a sign. He's just fed 5,000 of them with 2 small fish and 5 loaves, but they want another sign. They want bread from heaven. They don't want just loaves and fish. They want bread from heaven like Moses gave them. What happened? Can anyone, child, remind me? What is the story there? What happened there? The Moses story of bread. Anyone know? Come on, children. Hands up. All those who know. What happened? Just Nathan with his hand up. Go, Nathan. Oh, forgotten the question. Just put our hand up, instant. That's what happens in the home. I ask the question. What happened with Moses? No one knows. They left Egypt. What happens after they left Egypt? They went across the Red Sea. Then where do they go? To the desert. And what happened in the desert? They ran out of food and water. And they began to get grumbling. See, God had rescued them from Egypt to take them to the promised land, a land where they'd had everything. And they left Egypt and it all looked so good and they got across the Red Sea and the Egyptians were all destroyed and now they're in the desert for a few days and now the food's run out and the water's run out and it all looks like it's going horribly wrong and they start grumbling to one another. Whose stupid idea was this to come to the desert? We had food in Egypt. Now look at us, we're hungry. And what happens? God gives them food from heaven. He gives them manna each day. He gives them enough bread. Every day, for the entire time, they're in the desert. And Jesus says, verse 32, that miracle, that event back then, that points to this moment now. This moment now, says Jesus, when I am with you. That most moment now when God would give the bread of life. Bread that lasts forever. Bread that will satisfy you for eternity. Jesus said, that event back then, that points to this moment now with me. Because look, verse 35, look what he says. I am the bread of life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. All other breads, holidays, finances, perfect health, all other breads will spoil and fade. I am the bread of life. And remember, he's talking to people who lived the land, working each day for bread just to eat. When he said that, they got it. They got the moment that, hold on, he's saying he is the bread of life. Life for eternity. Life that will endure. That what they really need is not physical life, but spiritual life. And Jesus says, I'll give you that because I am the bread of life. See, what you really need is Jesus. And what you really need is Jesus forever. See, don't confuse what you think you need now with what we really need forever. Don't confuse what we think we need now with what we really need forever. Imagine this summer you're going on holiday and you're going to France. And to get to France, you're going to drive and you're going to go on a ferry. And mum and dad have packed the car to the full. I mean, to the brim. Everything you need is there for 2 weeks' holiday. But more than that, mum has packed the most amazing packed lunch ever. In fact, she's put so much food in that if you break down, you can wait for a tow truck for a whole year. You've got that much food. You know, there's every kind of sandwich. There's ham and pickle. There's tuna mayonnaise. There's Derrilea Marmite. There's prawn sandwiches for dad. You know, there's smoked salmon sandwiches. We're talking every sandwich that you might like. Peanut butter and jam, peanut butter and honey, peanut butter and banana. And not only that, mum's put in pork pies and chicken wings and Derrilea dippers. And more than that, she's put in Monster Munch crisps. And on top of that, she's put in gold bars and penguin bars and club bars, every flavor. And more than that, she's put in the fizzy drink. This is going to be a good journey. And dad in his kindness, has found two portable DVD players. On this journey, you don't have to watch what your sister wants. You can watch what you want. And you set off, and you're happy. This is a good journey. You get to Dover, you get to the ferry, and you're sitting in the queue to the ferry. And you look out your window, and you think rather smugly as you look at a bloke opposite, as he leans up against his rusty old car, and he's just got a Mars bar and a small bottle of water. And you look and you think, I know which car I want to be in on this journey. I don't want just a Mars bar and a water. And then the queue begins to move and dad turns to mum and says, hey, did you pick up the passports? Mum says, no, I thought you said you had picked them up. And suddenly there's a big raging argument happening between your parents about where the passports are. And you look out the window and the guy with just the Mars bar and the small bottle of water has his passport firmly in his hand as he gets on the boat. Now which car do you want to be in on the journey? See, you can't get through passport control with your pork pie and your chicken wings and your Derrilea Dunkers and all variety of sandwiches. Even your fizzy drink isn't going to get you through passport control. But that man's got it. Well, after 20 minutes of ranting and raging and everyone being blamed, including the dog that's not even there, dad finally finds the passports in the front pocket of his rucksack, which is where they always are. See, it doesn't matter, does it, about all the food you have or the DVDs in light of not having a passport. And you can have everything you need right now. You can have great holidays and amazing health. You can have excellent exam results, 10 A's. You can have the biggest, most amazing bank account. But in light of eternity, in light of 1,000 years, in light of 10,000 years, 100,000 years, none of these things will matter if you don't have Jesus, if you don't have the passport. See, don't confuse what you think you need now with what you really need forever. Me, says Jesus. I'm the bread of life. And look what else he says, verse 35. He says, he who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. See, without Jesus, we will die. With him, we'll never go hungry. Now, when Jesus says we'll never go hungry, he's not promising that we're going to pass all our exams. Sorry. He's not promising perfect health. He's not promising that you'll never struggle financially. In fact, Jesus says elsewhere, actually following him will be hard. I mean, for the people of Israel, as they traveled across the desert, they had happy days and they had sad days. They had days when they celebrated and they had days when they mourned, but they never had a day when they were hungry. Every day, there was bread from heaven. Every day, God was with them, sustaining them, and God got them to the promised land. And that's the promise Jesus makes to us here. Saying, look, I'll give you life. I'll get you there. Have a look, verse 37, verse 39. It's up on the screen, or the ferry there. Verse 37, 39. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I'll never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at that last day. See, Jesus is promising us that if we turn to him, he'll never let us go. He'll get us to heaven. Oh, we may have days when we're sad. We may have days when we struggle. We may have days when we'll be disappointed and upset. But you'll never be disappointed in Jesus. He'll give us the bread we need. All other bread spoil, but not him. Holidays, health, relationships, exams. They'll all spoil, they'll all fade, they'll all be ruined. They'll all leave us disappointed, but never, never Jesus. Every day he'll be there for us. He'll be our food for the journey and our strength to go on. He will not lose us. He will lead us to heaven. He'll keep us for eternity. He is what we really need now. But you know what, kids, children, young teenagers? Here's what happens. Most of us here know and believe that to be true. And yet the sad reality is, in the midst of life, we forget eternity. And we start wanting all those things now. And the holidays and the finances and the perfect health and the exam results become so much more important to us than what I really need, Jesus. And you know what the sad thing is? The sad thing is that many of us struggle and get confused and get angry and get disappointed with Jesus. Because actually we're wanting so much more these things that when we don't get those things, we're upset and disappointed and frustrated. And the problem is, you see, what's happened is we've confused what we think we need now with what we really need forever. See, all those other things, they're good things. They're great things. They're good things that God gives us. But they're always meant to point us to him of what I really need, Jesus. And yet so often, I do, many of us do, we confuse what we really need. We confuse what we think we need now with what we really need forever. And what we really need is Jesus. And in order to do that, we must, Jesus says, feed on him. See, believing in Jesus means feeding on Jesus. See, if I came back from the shops in my little Chiabatta, is it? Little Chiabatta here. I'm going out on a limb here. And I took it home, put it in the freezer, stored it for a while. Would it do me any good? No. In order for it to do me any good, I must eat it, feed on it. And to believe in Jesus means to feed on him. See verse 51. Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And the crowd are a little bit puzzled, verse 52. How does this man give us his flesh to eat? And what Jesus is saying is, the way he gives us life is by dying. On the cross, he'll give his flesh for the life of the world. See, for us to live, other things have to die. If you want sausage and chips, pigs and potatoes have to die. If you want bread, wheat has to die. And Jesus says, for you to have life, I must die. And he's saying, his death will bring us life, and he's then telling us how to view it. We're to view it like a starving man would approach a loaf of bread in the desert. Can you imagine if you're starving? Think about when you get really, really hungry and you find a piece of bread. Do you just look at the bread and go, nice bread? Have a look. Or you go, oh, that's a nice bit of bread, but it doesn't mean anything to me, like some people do with Jesus. Or you look at the bread and you think, do you know what? I'm going to take a little bit off and put it in my pocket for a bit later. That's what some people do with Jesus. They put it in his pocket for later. When they need him. Or maybe you think, I don't know, you look at the bread and you think, oh, do you know what? I'll keep it as a bit of a lucky charm when I got my exams. I'll put it away for now. And then exams come and I kind of rub it, hoping that the exams will do better because I've got my lucky bread. Like some people do with Jesus. No, if you're starving and hungry, what do? Well, you kind of just bite into it and you tear it and you stuff your mouth full of it because you're hungry. You need it. Your life depends on it. Jesus is saying, that's what you must do with me. Feed on me. Believe on me as if your life depended on it. because your life does depend on it. And maybe this morning is the first time you've ever heard such news of a need for Jesus. Can I encourage you? Feed on him. Believe in him. Don't confuse what you think you need now with what you really need forever. Feed on him. See, ask yourself the question. Would you rather have a comfortable life and a nice house and cars and holidays and food and good exam results and perfect health and friends? And are you looking for Jesus to meet them? Or are you looking for Jesus to meet your real need, your greatest need? Forgiveness of sin and an eternity with him. Maybe many of us, well, many of us have believed on him. But the thing is, you've got to keep on feeding on him. You don't just have one meal, do you? You don't just think, you know what, back in 1992, I had my meal for life. That was it. And yet sometimes we're like that as Christians. We think, well, I made a commitment back in 1992 and I haven't had to do much more besides. I turn up to church, but I'm not really feeding on Jesus. And how we feed on Jesus is, well, we read our Bibles, to learn more, we pray to express our dependence. We gather together as a church family because we need to be encouraged by the body. We come together around communion because actually I need to remember what it is Jesus has done and look ahead to what I will receive. I'm to do all these things, but here's the thing. I'm not just to do them as if they're a hobby. I'm to do them as if my life depended on it. I'm to feed on him. Do you do your Bible reading in the morning? It's just kind of, I've got to do it. Or do you see it as like a starving man in the desert finding a loaf of bread? I need to. I depend on him. I feed on him. My life depends on it. Are you feeding on Jesus? Do you see him as your greatest need? Don't confuse what we think we need now with what we really need forever. Jesus.